Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 225, recorded on September 26th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Feeling a bit retrospective today, like all the way back to the 80s,
but yeah, in a good way. All the way back to the 80s, not to last week.
Right.
All the way to the 80s. So I guess that works if we want to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
And specifically that.
Right.
And nobody understands what the hell we're talking about.
No, there's like three people and they're like, do it, do the whole show.
No, we're not going to do that. But one person who did buy all of those old movies recently on iTunes for $15.
$14.99.
He saved a penny. It's in HD. Adam Christensen from the MacCast.
I did it. I loved those movies when they came out. I had them on VHS for years. I'm like, it's time to upgrade.
Yeah, I guess if they're on VHS, if the tape is starting to separate, then it's time to upgrade.
Right. Yeah. If your VHS tape is starting to look kind of orange from the oxidation, probably time to replace.
Well, and if you don't have a player to actually play them in,
yeah. So you just have VHSs and no player. Yeah. I think I might be in the same boat, actually. For some reason, I still have some VHSs.
I tried converting them to digital using, like, an Elgato, you know, converter thing.
Yeah.
But I had audio sync issues, and then it was just, like, too much work. It's like, this is taking way too much time.
Yeah. Are you talking into a toilet paper tube now?
I was talking into my crystal IPA beer glass.
Oh, okay.
It's full, so it's making a deep sound now.
Okay, so we'll have a very slight...
Later in the show, I'll give you the empty sound.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. So, lots of stuff has happened in the past week, especially since we didn't record last week. So, the iPhone 6, of course, was released. It went on sale. Everybody bought their
We didn't
phones.
Record last week?
No, we didn't. And it's because of, I guess, a whirlwind of conditions that made it not happen. But basically, I was going to camp out at the local Apple store, and I thought it was going to be really cool because it's my new Apple store, and I hadn't done that yet. And so I took my car down there maybe an hour or two before I was planning on setting up camp, and to just check out the line. When I got back, my car wouldn't start. Luckily, I really could just walk to the Apple store, so it was not a big deal. Had to tow it back, yada yada. But long story short, I did not end up camping because it seemed like some kind of sign or omen that I shouldn't do it. And you know what? I think it was confirmed because the next day, so Friday, maybe...
You were getting a 6, though, right?
I was getting a 6 Plus.
Oh, you were going to get a 6 Plus.
Yeah, so on Friday, probably at 1 in the afternoon, I lined up, and I got it at about 3. And the guy told me, it's probably best that you didn't do that, because you would have been waiting a lot longer, and it just would have been a lot longer, and I had no problem getting my 6 Plus, I should say.
Then you took it back.
Yeah. Okay. So I was going to save it, but I think it's best to just keep it rolling with my opinion of the 6 Plus.
Rip
so,
the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, rip it off. So the, I mean, we've been talking a lot about bigger iPhones on this show, probably for the last year at least. And for that period of time, I thought, mainly because I think during my last upgrade, I was in the AT&T store and playing with the Galaxy line of phones. And I thought, this looks awesome if only it had iOS. And so
Which Galaxy, though?
It was probably an S3 or an S4.
Okay, so those aren't that big. S3.
Yeah, not that big, to be sure. But I thought, bigger is going to be better. I have big hands, so it's not going to be a huge deal for me. Well, so I got the Plus, and it was a big deal for me in a negative way. Obviously, it's a big phone. But I, as it turns out, I'm a one-handed phone user, as much as I can anyway. And it was just not working for me at all. It was obnoxiously big for me. So I traded down to the 6. And I've got to say that, in my opinion, I think Apple needs to come out with an even smaller version of this form factor. They need to come out with one in the size of the 5, because I think even the 6 is too big. I think I can deal with it. Me personally, I can deal with the size of it. But I know there are going to be tons of people who are just not going to go for it, because even though they want a new phone, they're ready for a new phone, it's just too big for them. And there were certainly those people when the 5 came out, right? but that wasn't a huge deal. I think there were fewer people who really wanted the size of the 4 than wouldn't get the 5. But at this point, I think that the fact that Apple is still selling the 5S in a larger than minimum capacity is a hedge of, they're hedging their bets with this thing. I think they're going to see how many people continue to buy the size of phone in the 5S, and they may make a decision to continue producing phones in that form factor.
Well, on one hand, they're hedging their bets, but on the other hand, what else were they going to do? Because they needed to have a previous year model to sell at a discount, because that's what they do. So that's what size the 5S is. There you go. I'm glad that it's that size, because for a lot of people, the 6 is too big, and the 6 Plus is certainly too big. I know for me, with the 6, I just realized today that that when I use it one-handed, I'm not even holding the 6. I can't. I'm actually balancing it on my fingers.
Yeah.
So that I can work my my thumb across the part of the screen I can hit.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything bigger than this, and it's just, for me, quite literally unusable. And the iPhone 6 is, well, I think in my review I said that it's right at the edge of what I can manage, but after using it a little while longer, it's actually just a little bit beyond the edge of what I can manage. But I'm figuring out how to make it work.
You know, I think you say that, but I think that humans are adaptable. And I sort of went through this even with the, you know, going to the 5 and the 5S when we went to the 4-inch screen from the 3.5.
Yep, right? I did have some issues with the 5 also.
Transition period. And, you know, I was ready to, a few days ago, completely return the 6 Plus and just be like, no, this is way too huge.
And stick with your 5S?
No, and go down. I was going to go to a 6.
Okay.
But I think the same kind of learning curve would be with the 6 too, because it's going to be like going from the, you know, the, like when I went from the 3.5 to the 4-inch screen, it's, now it's going from the 4-inch to the 4.7. So that transition is going to exist whether I go 4 to 4.7 or 4 to 5.5. And I like the possibilities of the 5.5 when I keep thinking about it. And that was one of the reasons I ultimately decided to order it, you know, was when I saw some of the UI things. It seemed to open up some new use cases that I was very interested in exploring, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
and totally makes sense.
So I think two things here. The first thing I wanted to address, though, Jeff, is, you know, I think if you had a 6 Plus, you would learn to adapt. So I'm slowly learning. I can use it one-handed. I don't think that's the best experience for the 5.5, but in a pinch, if I only had one hand free, I could probably do everything that I need to do with it. I think I fall, though, in the other camp, Michael. Like you were saying, you discovered you were a one-hand phone user. I think I used it one-handed, my 5S, but I don't know that I exclusively used it one-handed, and I'm not even convinced I used it one-handed all that frequently. I honestly don't know because, you know, I wasn't paying that much attention. But now that I have the 5.5 and I have to use it two-handed, and I've been doing it for over a week now, it doesn't feel as awkward as it did that first couple of days. And I think it's only going to get better. Well, and so that you know, I think that transition, just because we have bigger devices, that's going to be there for everyone, whether you get a 6 or a 6 Plus.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay. But you mentioned that humans are adaptable, right? And right. And you can certainly call upon that argument, but I think what the let me preface this by saying that I think it's good that Apple is producing bigger phones. But at the same time, I have to say that I've never purchased an Apple product before going into it and thinking that I'm totally going to dig this, understanding, hey, this is a bigger device. For example, I have a 17-inch MacBook Pro.
Oh, God.
I love it. Yeah. It is heavy.
I can never make that transition.
It's definitely heavy, but you know what? I knew what I was getting into. It's fine for me. It wasn't a situation where it was a change in usability other than just simply weight, I think. Yeah. So, but when I got the 6 Plus, I felt let down in some ways. And I'm not sure, maybe some of that was me not understanding what the use case is for the 6 Plus, because I do think there's a very specific person who the 6 Plus is made for. And that person is not someone who typically uses their phone one-handed, for example. But I think that even if I had ended up originally with the 6, I still and am would have been disappointed, because when you picked up the original iPhone, I don't think that was a problem, really. It just feels so much better. I guess the magic of Apple is that they've always made these tough decisions. They've removed a lot of choice from their mm-hmm. lineup. That's just has been their MO since 97. To remove choice in order to fit the thing that most people will be comfortable with, whether that's size, form factor, etc. And I don't see that really working so well, even with the 6. I think the 6 Plus, it's kind of murky to come up with an interpretation on that, at least for me, because like I said, I think there's definitely a person for that. But then again, they could have made a bunch of different sizes of the iPhone, and I'm sure that they did in you know, many, many years ago. I'm sure that they've had different sized phones in the labs for years and thought, you know, we can give people more choice and let them decide which phone they wanted. But they ultimately decided, let's go for the stuff that everybody can get behind, everybody will be comfortable using. And then I think ultimately the size of the 5 was kind of the edge of that. And I think that right now, as Jeff has said, and I think Jeff, you probably have a slightly more average hand. I think I have slightly bigger than average hands. So I think I'm adapting to it. But there are still times where no matter what happens, my one-handed tactics just do not agree with the size of the phone. But ultimately I'm adapting to it. And I think that you guys are probably going to disagree with me, but I think that this is Tim Cook's first round of truly his own products that he is fully kind of headed, been the leader on. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is he's going to learn a lot from it. I think that there's a bit of folly here, and that he thought choice was more choice was better. But I don't think so. I'm not convinced. I'm disappointed ultimately.
What are you saying?
I'm disappointed, and that I think that the 6 is too big, and I wish that Apple had not done this.
Right.
And going back on everything that I had said over the last year.
Even the 6 isn't really
It's not in that sweet spot.
Yeah. The 5 was. Well, and that's
it was. It was,
that,
it was the
argued,
sweetest.
Right? I mean, that was the thing. It's like, this is the limit of a one-handed device right here.
Absolutely.
4 inches.
Yep.
And I totally agree with that. So that's another reason why I'm at the point where it's like, I didn't sort of finish the second part of the thing that I'm thinking now, is I like the possibilities of the larger screen on the 6 Plus, and I'm convinced that developers are going to start to leverage it in really cool and interesting ways that they haven't had time to sort of explore it because they didn't have devices. And I think we're going to start to see some amazing things. So I started to become hesitant about making that, you know, quick judgment, oh, this is too big. Because right now, a lot of the interfaces actually look really bad because the default, if the app hasn't been optimized, is to go into the zoomed mode.
Yeah.
And things are kind of big and chunky. And I don't like that. But I have to kind of see, I have to see past that and go, there's a future here that might be really interesting. And if I return this thing now, I may have regrets. I may look back 3 months from now or 6 months from now and go, God, I really wish I had that version of that Twitter client or that writing app that I
yeah.
use that's fully optimized for this bigger experience and offers a workflow that would probably really benefit me.
Well, the one thing that I definitely noticed, so I spent about 24 hours with my Plus, and the one thing that I definitely enjoyed was in portrait mode in the Messages app, you got people's faces to the left of every conversation. That was great. I liked that a lot because it helped me figure out which conversation was which. And because I'm one of those people who does not ever delete the conversations. So,
yeah, movies are, I mean, there's certain applications where it really shines. You know, I guess you got to decide, you know, what world you live in now in terms of functionality. But I've been trying, because my normal behavior would always be to take my iPhone and my iPad with me. So this past week, I've been trying to only bring the iPhone and see if, you know, it's a viable. And I, you know, I prefer doing quote unquote work on my, and I'm saying quote unquote work. I mean, like actual, like sitting down, either writing show notes, reading articles, the stuff that I have to do for MacCast prep, I prefer doing it on my iPad.
Sure.
When I get down to actually recording the show and producing it, stuff like that, that's my laptop. But there's times when I've been out and I didn't bring my iPad with me for whatever reason, and I end up having a moment and I want to do something like take notes, or I want to, you know, do some work, and the iPhone 5S always felt like it was kind of a chore to do it. You know, it was like a compromise.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I'm starting to feel with the 5, 6 Plus, and this is what I was hoping for, is that it's enough between the sort of 5S and the iPad that it's going to be more like an iPad experience.
Yeah.
In terms of doing those tasks. And that's somewhat of a reality, I would say, today. I think it's going to be even more of a reality, again, when developers start sort of understanding the new form factor and sort of optimizing for it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of optimization that needs to happen. Even with Apple's own apps, I think we're going to see a lot of rethought on where buttons go in an interface, because the top left is now a really unusable location, both in the 6 and the 6 Plus.
Yeah. In portrait mode. Yeah. And that's, I'm glad that there's reachability in there. That's definitely good.
I mean, but that's like, that used to be the one of the go-to locations for like back buttons and stuff like that. I think we're going to see that change. I think good designers, app designers are going to rethink those interfaces and go, look, this is not a reachable location.
Well, if it's,
we can put secondary and tertiary things here, but it's not a primary location for a button.
Well, I think that, if we're talking about back buttons, I don't think that it matters as much. And that's typically what would be up there.
Or they switch to more swipe gestures. I mean, we might see more gesture-based controls or alternate. That's what I'm saying. There's going to be alternate ways to sort of do those functions that aren't going to rely on, because reachability, let's be honest, is total hack.
It is a hack.
Reachability isn't as cool as I thought it would be. I mean, it's really useful, but what I find is I double tap the home button, I tap the thing at the top of the screen. Now I need to tap the next thing at the top of the screen, double tap the home button, tap the thing at the top of the screen.
It's a lot of tapping.
Yeah. And something that before would have been like two or three taps, boom, 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 right at the top of the screen to be where I need to be. now become 6, 7, or 8 taps unless I decide, oh, screw it, I'm going to do this one, whatever this is, two-handed.
Yeah, and it's not a gesture that is easy to pull off, either the whole double tap. I mean, it sounds simple, but it doesn't always register every time. I found, you know, that occasionally it'll get missed, and then you're doing it again. So it's 4 taps to get to the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I wonder how well that'll work with the update. So let's move on through our list here. So the of course the one thing I wanted to point out was there's a story from Chiquita. They're saying that they're seeing a lot more. I know it's funny that we're getting any sort of metrics at all from these guys.
No, I'm laughing because you Chiquita, like the banana.
Or Chitika. Yeah, I said Chiquita. You're right.
I thought you said that on purpose, Michael.
Yeah. I thought you were joking.
No, it's because my brain switches things. But yeah, so Chitika. I've always thought it was Chiquita. This is, I learned something new today.
I always say Chitika.
Chitika.
Right?
Okay.
Chitika. Yeah, who knows? It's a stupid name because it's unpronounceable.
Let's go with Chiquita.
They're going,
I like Chiquita.
Yeah, so they've found that based on their ad viewing on the internet, the metrics that they see, they're seeing that there's a lot more of the iPhone 6 out there than the iPhone 6 Plus. And
99% of monkeys prefer bananas versus plums.
See, that's good to know.
Yeah. But ultimately, yeah, I was kind of surprised by this. I thought that there'd be a lot more plus people out there. But I think that it's gotten more attention because it's the newer, bigger, supposedly better thing. But I think there are probably a lot more people just based on this stuff and running into people around town. I've seen no 6 pluses.
Well, plus availability. I mean,
well, availability of them wasn't bad. Like I said, I bought my 6 Plus Friday.
That
in the
was
afternoon.
Rare, though. I think you got lucky.
Okay. You got incredibly lucky.
Okay.
Although my brother was able to pick one up at an AT&T store on launch day.
Yeah, there were a lot of.
He got there at 2 a.m. So.
Okay. Well, there were a lot of the third party, like dealer or what am I thinking? The carrier stores you could find the phones at. There was no line, et cetera. I heard a lot of people saying that.
But I think just in terms of numbers for Apple to sell, I think you know, they had far fewer to sell. That's not to say I don't think those numbers are going to prove to be true. I think the 6 is going to far outsell the 6 Plus. The other thing that's going to be interesting and we'll never know is to know how many people returned their 6 Plus. But just based on my Twitter feed, 30... maybe 40% return rate on 6 pluses or emails that people are sending me.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all because it's people like me who thought, yeah, this is awesome. Bigger is better. And then they get it and say, whoa, have I made a mistake?
Yeah. But I think I tweeted this too. I think there's going to be return remorse, which is, you know, the opposite of buyer's remorse.
I certainly thought about that. I definitely considered it thinking, oh, I'm giving up better battery life. I'm giving up the image stabilization, stabilization.
Again, that, in my mind, that's the wrong thing. I think when it's going to be the app stuff, when those folks start to see apps come out that are optimized,
possibly,
I think that's when the remorse is going to hit.
But yeah, I think, and if you're someone that wanted a tablet where you can make phone calls, the 6 Plus is, I think, a really good size for that. Yeah. And yeah, Adam, when apps start coming out that really take advantage of that screen space, then the people that wanted a little tablet to also make phone calls are going to feel probably pretty bad that they returned the 6 Plus.
Yeah, what's really going to be interesting for me if I don't return the 6 Plus, and I'm still on the fence. I have days when I'm like, yeah, I think this is right, and then I have days when I don't. So I've got a few more days to kind of make my final decision. Right now I'm feeling like I'm going to keep it. But it will be really interesting to see a year from now which device I'm buying, if, Michael, your predictions don't come true. But
yeah,
I think these are the two sizes moving forward. And I think when the 6S Plus or whatever it is called comes out, it'll be interesting to see if I stick with this form factor or not. I still, and just so people don't think I'm like totally crazy. I still am not a fan of how big it is, and just in terms of carrying it around. I do think, you know, that, and I don't think that part's ever going to change for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not pocketable in my, I'm not going to be able to keep it in my front left jeans pocket come this winter. I know that's just going to irritate the crap out of me.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pockets, let's talk about we're going to talk about the thing that every damn media news outlet moron has talked about. And my favorite thing about it, about the whole thing, is that
physics is real.
Well, that people mockingly called this thing Bendgate. It was a joke.
Right.
That a few people started calling it Bendgate after the Antennagate thing. And the fact that if you turn on CNN, they're calling it Bendgate. They have no idea what they're talking about. They just say it because they think that it's the thing that they say on the internet because they know what's going on. But yeah, so iPhone 6 Pluses seem to be bending. At least, let me back up.
Yes.
There were a few that bent.
Nine.
There were nine people that reported it to Apple, and then Apple told us that there were nine.
Well, if you don't tell Apple.
Yeah, but okay, let's just... Yeah,
there's more that were bent legitimately.
Let's assume it's 10 times that. Let's assume it's 100 times that.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah,
okay,
so...
Well, 100 times 9. So 900 phones bent out of...
10 million phones that were sold.
We don't know how many were 6 pluses, though. So let's assume 30% 6 pluses.
Okay. We're running some numbers.
I would bet that it's actually higher. Substantially higher.
No, I know, but I'm doing the like let's go with extreme. 900 are bent. 3 million are in the marketplace.
Yeah,
and those numbers are ridiculous. Those numbers are ridiculous on both sides. That's still a tiny problem.
Well, if you count the morons who bent their phones intentionally,
and those count at all.
I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, this is so ridiculous. It's not even a story.
Okay, so I just want to go over a few points of this thing, just to be thorough and make sure that it was covered.
Well, and we need to cover the science angle, just like Jeff said.
Later. Absolutely, yeah. So, so there were reports of, I think we saw two, right? Two legitimate individual situations, maybe one. There's only one I can think of where a guy described going to a wedding.
Where was it confirmed? Was it confirmed? Was this the guy that was out partying all night at a wedding?
The guy who was partying at a wedding. He pulled out his phone the next day. He had it in his pocket for the most part, which kind of was...
except he forgot... when the blackout came, he forgot the part where his friend ran it over with his car.
Sure. Okay. Let's be fair to the guy.
Just,
party. Yeah, but
no. Okay. Yeah, let's be fair.
It doesn't assume
it's legit.
It's kind of so to me, if a situation was occurring where these phones were so malleable that just having it in a pocket for 24 hours is going to put a significant bend in it.
Well, define that pocket.
That's a big deal.
The leg length and define.
Okay,
the mass of the person and the angle that
front
they
pocket
were at when it was bent.
Was it a front pocket or a back pocket?
He said front pocket. He definitely said front pocket.
I would assume it would happen more likely in a front pocket than a back pocket.
But it doesn't make any sense that he said slacks. So even if they were like freaking, unless they were Tin Man's, if you're Iron Man and you like jammed your phone into your Iron Man suit, okay, I get it. It's not a flaw with the phone. But so Apple knows that people wear skinny jeans. It's a fact of life. If you're a giant human
in a pair of skinny jeans, sorry, I can barely get it in my old man jeans.
That's true. But if you're a giant human and you put your phone in your back pocket and you sit on your phone, you're asking for trouble. I don't care what you say.
I was afraid to do that even with my 5. Like I'm
no,
like
yeah, never.
I haven't done that with any
crack.
Why would you sit on your phone? That doesn't make any sense. You're asking for trouble.
One, it's not comfortable. No, in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't break.
Okay, so
that thing wedges, places you don't want it wedged.
That's right.
So there was a guy who like made $1 million off of his YouTube video because he bent his phone from another. What was that media outlet?
Well, it's on Unboxed.
Unboxed.
Was it Unboxed? No, Unboxed Therapy.
Unboxed Therapy, yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, they're part of, aren't they part of which network? They were part of one of the networks, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, so the guy bent his six, intentionally he bent the thing. Okay, I get it. If you're going to torque it like that, you're probably going to bend your phone. He tried it with a regular six. He could barely get it to bend. So
he couldn't get
ultimately,
the Galaxy Note 3 to bend.
He could not get that.
Okay. Yeah, guess why?
Because it's not made of aluminum.
Because it's a lot thicker and
plastic.
Yeah, and plastic will absorb some of that force. Yeah.
So ultimately, I think Apple probably responded in the best way that they could, which was they invited some press to check out their testing lab, where you get to see it's kind of funny. It's like cartoonish almost, where you see shoes like stomping.
Are you sure you're not talking about? Sounds like their response to AntennaGate.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like that, doesn't it?
Now that you say that, they didn't let press into that lab. They just showed photos.
They showed photos.
They showed photos. But okay,
I thought they invited...
They had a press event and they showed photos.
A couple select people.
Well, maybe. Anyway, so they actually have a lab where they have shoes like stomping on phones.
Yeah, and cartoonish. And
the music that appears in my head for this lab is... is the old Warner Brothers cartoon thing where it's kind of
Yeah.
I guess Unboxed Therapy is independent. I apologize. I thought they were with some network, but they've been around for a while. It's like a YouTube channel and videos.
Ultimately,
and stuff like that.
I think that this is probably the best response, because the first thing that comes to mind was, holy crap, did they not realize that people were going to put these things in their pockets? Because that's the response that you... that is immediately elicited from these stories of guy puts phone in pocket, has pretty average day, and takes the phone out of his pocket at the end of the day and it's bent. And you think, holy cow, did Apple not test these phones? And of course, what the point of this whole media invitation is to show, yeah, we're not idiots. Hello, we tested these things. And in addition to that, they put out a statement saying, that it has reinforcements in various areas. It was thoroughly tested and was more thoroughly tested than any other phone that they've put out. So ultimately, the bottom line is this thing is totally overblown. There's probably one or two phones ultimately that we've seen. Actually, let me take that back. There are three, because unless Adam
and
is totally
devotion to the Pope.
Adam is totally pulling one over on us. He's either pulling one over on us, Adam Lissagor, I should say. Or
does he have a bent one?
Did you see? You didn't see the photo on his Twitter?
No.
Okay. I'll put a link to this in the show notes, and he may be totally bullshitting everybody, but he doesn't usually do that. Based on what I'm seeing, so it looks like his phone went concave from the back, so bent backwards and at a pretty significant angle, and it looks as though he tried to bend it back, and an old adage comes to mind that I learned when I was younger, that is, you bend something once, you have one pieces, you bend it twice, you have two pieces. And there's a big, long crack along the center of his phone, and it does not look like he,
of course, there is.
Did anything better to bend it back. So he might have been in an extreme situation. But okay, so that's a total of.
There's no explanation behind this.
Behind Adams?
Yeah.
There's absolutely no explanation. I should probably just text him and see what he says. He's probably just pulling one over on us. But ultimately, I think this is way overblown, obviously. And there's no reason to continue talking about it, I think, unless we have more evidence that it's happening. Right? Okay.
I say move on.
Moving on. Nobody wants to hear any more about
it. See, that's one, that's a left cheek, right cheek, right there. That's what happened.
It's awesome. Not that big. It's not like he sat on an iPad. Oh boy.
That's why you got the.
It does
the
look like a butt crack
in the middle.
Yeah, there's a butt crack.
Oh my god. Why am I not drinking right now?
I was thinking about it. Okay. Also, Apple says it's extremely rare, blah, blah, blah. Moving on. So, I just wanted to throw out a couple extra little impressions of my phone. Ultimately, I like it. I think the form factor is amazing. It feels awesome in my hand. I immediately take it out of the case as soon as I come home. Because I love the curved sides, especially the way that the display blends in with the sides. That just makes it feel so nice when you're swiping back and forth between things. I'm very
naked is awesome. Naked is beautiful.
Yes, I agree. iOS 8 also came out last week. Good times. We know a lot about iOS 8 already. The health app health kit related apps were not allowed in the App Store initially. And Apple said that there was some kind of bug, right?
Right. They didn't say what the bug was, but they said there was a bug. And so they had to disable health kit until it was sorted out. Right. And then they fixed it and broker iPhones.
Yeah, so they put out 8.01, which surprisingly caused issues with cell service and Touch ID on all six.
And by issues, you mean it shut them off.
So Touch ID stopped working?
Yeah, Touch ID stopped working, and I'm assuming the cell radios were just shut off. Because there was just no service.
Jeff got hit. Yep.
Well, that's part of your job, right? Is to walk on the edge and tell people when there are problems.
No.
Yeah. And in this case, when I walked on the edge, I just went right off the side.
Yeah.
Which honestly doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
Usually everything goes fine. And when something does go wrong, it's a small enough issue that I keep going while I sort it out so we can write about it. In this case, though, it's like, oh, I have a big screen iPod Touch now.
Yeah. And you had to downgrade, right?
I had to downgrade. Oh. And my backup was borked, so
ooh.
I had to start from scratch.
Ooh, that is painful.
Yeah.
So this is your PSA for the day to back up your phone. And you can, even if you're backing up to iCloud, you can do a manual backup to your computer. There's a giant backup now button.
Yep.
And you know what I learned about that backup now button?
What's that?
Super helpful. So have you ever done a restore from backup on your iPhone and then you got to put in all your passwords and crap all over again?
I used to, but I now use the tip that you're about to disclose.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
So you knew this trick. I probably saw it a million times and never thought about it, but somebody pointed out if you just check the box that says encrypt my backup,
it saves all your passwords.
Yep. But isn't the keychain, the iCloud keychain, supposed to take care of that?
No. Yes, but no, it doesn't.
It just doesn't.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah. And also when you're doing it this way, this is the way that I like to do it whenever I'm planning to do a restore or know that I'm going to the Apple store to get a replacement phone. I always back up to my computer because one, it's infinitely faster than downloading a backup from iCloud. And two, it's even more infinitely faster. That's what I said, more infinite. To put all of your apps back onto your phone from your computer than it is downloading from the App Store. And so
more infinitely faster.
More infinite.
You actually do live right on the event horizon, don't you?
It's possible to be more infinite. Yeah, you can add two infinities, just FYI. I think you can probably multiply them too. But so make sure when you hit that backup now button, it should say, do you want to backup apps as well? And then it'll transfer your purchases. If you're not sure, you can right click your phone and say transfer purchases, so that when you do restore, because if you're restoring from your computer, it's going to pull the apps from your computer. If there are apps that were on your phone before but they aren't on your computer, and you do a restore from backup from your computer, you're not going to get any apps that you're not going to get the apps that aren't on your computer. They're just going to not appear. So you'll have to manually download them, just FYI. Okay, so moving on. The iPhone 4S users, bad idea to put iOS 8 on there?
I think it depends on the person. If you're someone that that just needs whatever it is that comes with iOS 8, and that's it, okay, go ahead and install it. But if you need your phone to stay as responsive as possible, then stay away from it.
Well, and here's a little bit of an interesting thing. I had a friend of mine who has a 4S, and he was thinking, well, maybe I'll just upgrade to iOS 8, and then if I don't like it, I'll just downgrade to iOS 7. And I said, yeah, you can do that, but just be aware of how the updates work. So once Apple closes that that window of signing software packages for iOS 7, you're not going to be able to downgrade. And typically they do that within 24 hours-ish, even sooner a lot of times when they release a new version. They left it open for probably a week and a half. It just closed today.
I'm surprised they left it open that long.
Yeah. I think it was intentional, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So cool things about iOS 8. There are quite a few. So the big features with it, of course, are extensions, Touch ID in third-party apps, and Notification Center widgets. And I didn't really think so much about the Notification Center widgets, but some of those are pretty handy. I've got OmniFocus going in my Notification Center and Evernote as well, so I can quick open a new Evernote note if I want. Touch ID is phenomenal, especially when hooked up with 1Password. I think they're still working through some bugs to make sure that it works properly with Touch ID all the time, because sometimes it just asks for my master password. But so having Touch ID with third-party apps as well as extensions and 1Password means when I go to a site in Safari and it needs my password, I just press the little button at the bottom and hit 1Password. It asks for my thumbprint, tap on the login, and boom, I'm going. It's awesome. And I can't wait for more of this magic to happen. I was talking about how I'm switching to Simple, the bank, the online bank. And they actually have 1Password integration in their app, which is so sweet, because otherwise I'd have to jump out of their app and go to 1Password and this and that. I just press the 1Password little button and thumbprint, and awesome.
See, that is awesome.
Yeah. So, and there are a bunch of other keyboards. So the one thing I want to talk about, and ask you guys about is I downloaded a couple third-party keyboards and none of them worked until I turned on, what is it? Extended access. Is that what it's called?
Full access.
Full access. Yeah. So, I feel like I'm living in an Android world suddenly with this, situation. And it's because I downloaded. I think I probably got SwiftKey. Maybe was that free?
Yes.
Okay. So I got that one, and they said, "Hey, this is how you do it. You go into keyboards and you add a new keyboard and touch it and go, and then it's on." And then I went to try and use it, and a blank screen appeared. And eventually, I figured out that you have to turn on extended or full access, and I'm thinking, why do I need to do that for every one of these keyboards that I've installed? It seems like every single one you have to turn on extended access.
Nope. Not true.
Okay, so first, what does extended access do that is...
Let some keylog your stuff.
So it basically, from a more generalized standpoint, what does it do that doesn't get done without it?
I think a lot of the keyboards are using it to build a learning profile about typing behavior so that it can get more accurate at doing suggested autocorrect sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is one thing. I don't know. It probably depends on the keyboard and what it's designed to do.
So is it a matter of, well, can, without the full access.
It needs to do that also to be able to send data through the iCloud system. So, and I don't know why you may or may not need to do that. I think, like in the case of, I think Text Expander's keyboard requires that access. And I haven't asked them why, but I'm assuming it's for like a syncing kind of thing.
Yeah. So full access allows, so the way it comes out of the box, if you have a keyboard that you download and you don't enable full access, the full access basically allows the keyboard to get network access. Is that correct?
Yes. That's what I think. That's what I believe.
Okay. And so without the network access, ostensibly some keyboards will continue working just with less functionality.
Although
may even be full functionality, but you know, like I don't know if they have a mechanism to maybe push updates without actually having to do a full app update or something like that. I don't. I need to look into deeper, but okay. I'm assuming it's those kinds of behaviors. So if it needs to, you know, if it's doing something on a server side to gain, a, you know, like build a profile so that it can more accurately do autocorrect, or if it needs iCloud integration, or if it needs to, you know, like I said, push an update, or who knows, you know, if it's using some sort of web service to enhance the functionality of the keyboard, it would need full access, that sort of thing. It's unclear. I mean, that's the problem, I think, is it's really not clear what the keyboard does or need. But, you know, I was joking about the keylogging thing, but I think if you do allow full access, they potentially could, you know, log keystrokes and send it back to a server.
Yeah, this, it does not feel like the Apple that we know and love. Because they've always been, I mean, when it came to the push notifications, for example.
Well, they do warn you. A lot. It says okay, when you flip the switch, hey, you're providing full access.
This is a
to your typing data.
This is a click to agree to become a human sent iPad situation.
Oh, just avoid the cuttlefish, all right.
I mean, this is a serious problem, I think. Because people need to be concerned, and I don't like that people need to be concerned, because this is the first time with iOS that people have had to actively think about the apps that they're allowing to run on their phone.
Because this thing would be allowed without even telling you. You know, it was a bigger problem before. At least there's a stopgap measure in here that says, hey, if you do this, this is what you're allowing.
Yeah, but in one situation, you're talking about, okay, you're installing an app. Let's say, ooh, I'm going to get this Facebook browser app. Okay, I install it and I use it and I tool around inside of it. And of course, it allows network access, whatever. But in some ways, so the way that iOS works, I assume, well, no, I think that it could probably pull everything that you're typing if you're in that specific app. I think the danger comes from the fact that it's
breaks
wherever
out of the sandbox. Basically, what it's warning you
it's
is
breaking
by
you out
using
of the
this
sandbox,
keyboard
yeah.
and turning this on, you're going outside of the sandbox that this would normally live in.
I'm not comfortable right. with that. Because
Don't turn it on.
Yeah, I'm not going to, but I think that it's I think it's freaking some people out.
Those keyboards do work without turning that on. Well,
some of them do. Yeah, SwiftKey and Text Expander did not work at all. So I'll just read what it says. Full access allows the developer of this keyboard to transmit anything you type, including things you previously typed with the keyboard. This could include sensitive information such as your credit card number or street address, or I would imagine passwords as well.
Yeah, anything you type on the keyboard. You're basically allowing keylogging back to the developer. Now, whether they're doing that or not is a whole separate thing.
The problem is
you don't know. Well, developers, I think, are going to have to be more transparent and open about why they're requesting that access.
I think they're going to have to. I mean, for situations like SwiftKey, for example, and Text Expander, frankly, I think that they need to come up with better ways of providing whatever service the full access allows them without actually requiring full access. Now, whether or not that can be done.
Their hands are tied by Apple there. That's not a fair thing to say.
That's a really good point.
It's possible. I think that probably with Text Expander, it might not be possible, period. Because of the way that it has to work. It has to interpret everything that you're typing, pull that out, and spit out the thing that you really want. But things like Swift Key and other stuff like that, there are tons of keyboards out there that are just like, you know, put your picture of your dog as the background on your keyboard, but we need full access for this because you're dumb and we're going to take everything that you type. Possibly, maybe. I think that in those situations, I think they're going to have to dial it back. They're going to have to try and work within the confines of the sandbox for a lot of this stuff because it's, it's tough. It reminds me of going to a website and having to type in your login credentials, your bank credentials, let's say, but there's no SSL on it. You have no idea where it's going. I think maybe it's even worse than that because you know that it's being tracked and you don't know who these developers are. Now, if it's Smile on My Mac, it's one thing. I trust those guys. But if it's some J random dude on the App Store, I mean, it's just something that Apple cannot guarantee through their testing what they're going to start doing. I mean, they could get it through the App Store 6 months later. They could then start, keylogging. And yes, there have been security issues with apps in the past, but I think it's been a lot more confined and a little more on the fringe side of things.
Well, what about third-party email apps? Are you okay with those?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I guess this kind of plays into the bigger conversation about what you're willing to provide in general online. You know, it's the same kind of thing if you're talking about logging into applications using your Facebook credentials.
So just because I was curious because I hadn't looked it up, Text Expander does have a thing through the support on their website that tells you what the custom keyboard is doing and why it requires allow full access. So
okay.
Full access needs to be turned on so that it can expand snippets by sharing snippet data with the app. So it allows keyboard to app communication, it sounds like.
Interesting. Okay.
And play sounds for key taps and snippet expansion, which is interesting. I don't know why it would need to play sounds, but maybe it's the same kind of thing where the sounds are stored within the Text Expander app in order to be able to cross
sense.
The sandbox barrier. They need to do that. It says they do maintain a small buffer of recent key taps for the purchase of matching the snippet abbreviation. The buffer clears after a limited number of key taps. It says the keyboard does not require or use network access.
Okay,
but it could.
So,
see, the thing is, once you turn that on, it could. Now, they're not doing that, but there you go.
Interesting.
All right, so good for Smile Software for having a very transparent statement about how
I have to go back and look and see if that information was in the app. I did have to dig through the website a little bit. It's in their privacy policy if people are looking for it.
Well, the pop-up that dialogue that you get when you enable the full access, what it says is that it could do the network thing and so things like your credit card number or home address could potentially be logged but it doesn't explicitly say that no data is being sent over the internet back to Smile servers.
Yeah. So I think they're going to have to developers are going to have to somehow give a notification inside their app that you install, you know, or some transparency in the app to let you know exactly what they're using within the context of the allow full access. So that people can make an informed decision on whether or not they want to turn that on or off or use that product.
Yeah.
Sure.
Can we talk about how the third party keyboards are just all a little bit janky?
Yeah, go for it.
So I've tried the third-party keyboards. I'll use the text expander one because I like being able to expand my snippets. But the way I've been using it is I will sort of flip over real quick, expand my snippet, and then I go back to the default keyboard.
Because there's
just found
no
the
autocorrect.
Keys are too small. What?
And there's no autocorrect either. It's strictly a text expander keyboard.
Well, and that again, I think that's more on Apple because I think
yes.
that if developers want autocorrect, they have to build their own, which is that's a daunting task.
Absolutely. I really yeah. assumed that Apple would provide that as a service for developers that they could opt into.
Yeah, it's not seeming like that to me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they'd be able to make that work, though, because many of the keyboards, the whole autocorrect thing wouldn't fit well with their design. Like if you're using swipe and you're just sliding your finger around the keyboard, swipe is trying to figure out what it is you're typing, and you don't want to have that conflicting with Apple's own feature. And with text expander, you don't want the system trying to figure out what the weird character combination is that's your snippet shortcut, and then screwing that up.
Here's the thing, and maybe this isn't possible because of, you know, all the different custom keyboards should be fully custom, I guess. But I'm just finding there's so much inconsistency with the UI of the keyboards.
Yeah.
You know, like everything kind of shifts around, so even shifting from one to the other, or at least the one bit of UI consistency I wish they would add is the location and the icon for the thing that you tap to change the keyboards.
Oh yeah.
And how that and how that key behaves. So for example, Smile did a really cool thing, and if I had the ability, I totally would have done this. They put their logo on they branded it on that little button. I have Flesky installed, and Flesky's really annoying because that button is a dual button. It's the number button as well as the toggle keyboard button. So if you just tap it, it stays within Flesky and it jumps between the number keyboard and, you know, number punctuation keyboard. And then you actually have to press and hold it to be able to switch. You can't just tap it. So I've just found that to be incredibly annoying because I never know what to do to get, you know, to toggle through my keyboards. And just a side little tip that I had no idea this worked. If you are on Apple's default keyboard, if you press and hold the little emoji icon button.
Yep.
You get a little pop-up. And
that's
you can
true.
Yep.
Slide to swipe between different keyboards. I didn't know that existed. You could also turn on or off the predictive feature, by the way, in iOS 8.
Yep, it's under that same little pop-up menu.
I didn't know that existed. But that doesn't work in third-party keyboards, I noticed, too, that little trick.
Huh. Well, good to know.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So those inconsistencies are a little bit tricky. And at the very least, there should be sort of a minimum key size or something like that. The smile one's a little bit too small for me. And I've given them that, or I'm going to be giving them that feedback. I guess I should say I haven't sent them an email yet, but.
Sure. So let's see, what else do we have to talk about here? Any issues with iOS 8 other than what we've mentioned? I know there have been some people.
Bluetooth.
Yeah, so what's going on with Bluetooth? Someone mentioned Bluetooth to me today.
Yeah, if you connect to like a Bluetooth stereo or things like that, it'll sometimes just like it's done it for me a couple times where it's just like dead. It won't connect no matter what you do.
Okay. And I'm using Bluetooth only with little things like my Fitbit.
Yeah, headset or stereo. It seems to be more of an audio thing. That's the place I've experienced it. Sorry.
Yeah, what I did notice was...
And the echo thing again.
On...
echo chamber.
echo chamber.
I use Bluetooth headphones a lot. And so I was listening to a podcast in bed the other night. And my girlfriend says, so what's with the strobe light? And I jokingly said, oh, I need it to sleep. And then I realized what she was talking about, that the light on my Bluetooth headphones, it was just blinking like a strobe light.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
just constantly. It was a very consistent.
Because it had lost connection.
It worked fine. I was hearing everything I needed to hear. Although I will say that I now notice that the controls weren't working. Back and forth.
Yeah,
and
so there's something weird going on with.
But like, I'm on iOS 8.02 now, and it seems to. It's not
fixed.
It's not blinking. Seems to maybe be fixed. I'm gonna try using the controls here if I can get a quick bead on this thing. It looks as though it's back in order. I would imagine that it's working. Okay, so I would imagine that the reason it was blinking like that, because it blinked like that with both of my Bluetooth headsets, that was probably some kind of weird, not full connection sort of indication on my headset. So that's working now with 8.02. And I did update to 8.02 now because I saw that Dave Hamilton tweeted that he put it on a bunch of devices and was working out just fine. So I think it's safe.
I got an email from a listener who said he had exactly the same problem as with 8.01. But he was in the UK, and I also heard that Don McAllister had the same thing. Like, it just killed his...
I saw that,
and he's in the UK as well.
I saw some Australians.
I thought that was with the 8.01, so my listener might have been mistaken. I haven't gone back to review his tweets. I know he installed 8.01 and got hit.
Okay. And for what it's worth, I did use the Delta update, not the full restore.
Well,
thing.
And I'm wondering if people who got hit by the 8.01 bug and did not do a full restore back and just tried to apply 8.02 over 8.01, if they still have the issue.
Possible. That was,
that's a really good question. Because I'm sure there's some people that were like, well, guess I don't have a phone now, and just waited for the new update to come out.
Yeah, maybe. So the Apple TV also got an update last week. It has a fancy new UI. And by new UI, I mean it's just slightly different. Just the icons are flatter.
I learned something about that because I made the mistake on my podcast. I actually need to do a correction that I haven't done yet.
Sure.
Apparently, that's only an Apple TV 3 update.
Ah, interesting. Oh.
If you have a 2, you will not get the new flat UI.
Because it requires so much more power. Goodness.
I have no idea.
It requires so much more power to show flat
if you look
blocks
at Apple's,
of color.
Yeah, if you look at Apple's, Apple's update notes, it even says that. So it's an Apple TV 3 update only.
Huh. Well, I think it's... so what did we get? So there's the... Of course, there's the Beats music channel. Yahoo, and it's flatter. Yep. I think that is anything improved? Anything work better or more interestingly? Or is it just that it looks a little neater?
You know, I haven't noticed anything different other than the flat icons.
There's family sharing that's built in there. So that's important
family
for people
support.
Who do that. iCloud photo support. Oh, that's, I wanted to talk about a few things.
iCloud photo?
What's that?
With the iCloud photo library?
Tangentially. So the Photos app is bugging the hell out of me on iOS 8 because, number one, there's no camera roll. How stupid. No camera. I just want a list. I want a list of my photos.
Wrong.
No, yeah. I'm thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what the problem is.
I'm not doing it right because I'm stupid. No, seriously, that's insane. So you have to go to the photos view and you just have to go and
recent
doesn't show you everything.
It's the same thing that the camera roll used to be.
No, it's not. It doesn't show you everything. It just shows you the last 30 days. And I have a lot of old photos.
So you're one of those people that keeps like a crap load of stuff in their camera roll.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I don't keep everything in there. But I mean,
more than 30 days worth.
Yeah, I have stuff from 20.
That would drive me nuts.
Some 2010 stuff, some 2011 stuff.
You see, that stuff all gets sorted out into other albums.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it
for
doesn't.
Me.
Okay, fair enough.
In
I get what
app,
you're saying.
It would go in by date.
Yeah, I see that, but it's dumb. I just want to get a giant
wall.
There's
new searching in the Photos app. You know that.
I don't want to search. I just want to scroll up to the top because I know where those photos are. Anyway,
they're still up at the top. But they're mingled in with your other photos. Is that your beef?
I just want it the way it was. There's no reason for them to remove this because they're Apple. They just, anyway. There's also, what's the deal with photo stream?
What is a camera roll?
What's a camera roll?
Yeah, what's a camera roll?
It's the roll of film.
Exactly.
From my camera.
Not to have it.
I like it.
How many people using an iPhone today?
How much film is in your iPhone?
I have a lot of film in this iPhone. I do. I get mocked. I totally get mocked by my girlfriend when we go somewhere. She's like, "Okay, I won't bring my iPad with me, because you'll have to take the photos. You'll have to take a lot of photos because I like taking a lot of photos, and you never take any photos, and you always complain like you have a limited amount of photos that you can take. Like there's a roll of film in your phone. I always get crap for that."
And there's people out there that are like, "What do you mean roll of film? I don't even understand what that is."
And photo stream. What's the deal with that? There's no photo stream. How do I see what my photo stream has?
Recents.
That doesn't, what?
That is the replacement for the one-for-one for replacement for photo stream.
So have they made it so, okay. So this is mind-bending right now. So they've basically set up photos or recently added to merge the idea of photo stream camera roll. So it makes sense now that it's 30 days. Yes. And then that eliminates the whole me deleting a photo from my camera and then having to go to the photo stream and delete it there too.
Right. And this is the whole idea of you take a photo and it's everywhere all the time.
Okay, and that makes sense with the recently deleted. But the only thing is,
never made sense before because everything went in two places or three places. Now it's all in one place.
What? Okay.
Take a photo, it goes in, it goes into photos. That's it.
What about,
you don't have this separate, like, weird area, the camera roll that's sort of off on its own.
What if so sometimes I take screenshots or I take photos of like...
Goes into recently added.
I get that. But with those sorts of things that are just
and also
like
a thing
notes
called
to
screenshots.
Self, huh? Is there screenshots?
Yeah, there's a screenshots album that's set up by default.
I don't see that. It's not in here.
I thought. Am I wrong?
Yeah, let me try. I'll take a screenshot.
Thought I had one.
Oh, my phone just turned off. Screenshot.
Yeah, okay. Now, see, here's a problem.
It's impossible
to
take a screenshot.
iPhone 6. It's harder to get the timing right for pressing the buttons. I routinely shut off my iPhone or lock it instead of taking a screenshot.
Because I think it has to do with the volume buttons. So if you hit the volume buttons at the same time, it just says, okay, you're turning off your phone.
No, you have to start the press for the home button slightly ahead of the press for the power button.
Interesting. Yeah, I
know. If you do them at the same time, it just registers the power button only.
I'm gonna add that. Yeah, sorry, I was gonna say, going back to the screenshots thing, I'm gonna actually send that into feedback@apple.com because there should be a screenshots default album.
I agree.
That's a bummer to me.
Now you also do get the recently deleted album.
Yep,
and that's something that people want off. Some people do.
Yeah, your nude selfies you don't want hanging around.
No, you don't want those hanging around.
Right.
Yeah.
So, hey, is there a way to shut off that album? I haven't gone to look yet.
Something we missed on the Apple TV app, by the way.
Okay.
Lonely Sandwich says, go into KORTV, the KORTV app.
Okay.
And check out Farting King Pung Pung.
Is that related to Apple TV, Adam?
Yes. It's on the Apple TV app. It's a channel on Apple TV with like Japanese stuff.
KORTV. Oh, okay. And okay. What is it?
Some kids show with, I'm assuming, a farting king.
I like that.
Of course you do.
Who doesn't?
And really, what kids show shouldn't have a farting king?
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but it makes a lot of sense.
You know, I am so internationally uninformed, and this could be something somebody just told me, and it's idiotic, but I had heard at some point that in the Japanese culture, the whole concept of farting and pooping is just like something they find incredibly hilarious. And it's just,
it's because it is hilarious.
Right. But I mean, but they celebrate it. Like it's
they celebrate
like,
it.
Yeah. Kids shows are, you know, they have entire kids shows where like, you know, the main characters are poop.
Sweet. Well, that makes sense why there's a smiling
pile
of poop.
People have to tell me if I'm totally wrong, but yeah.
Yeah. Call us out if we're wrong.
This show seems to confirm that thing I was told.
All right, cool. All right. Is there anything else that we need to talk about? I just, there's one thing here. The rumored 12.9-inch iPad Pro may include an A8X processor. Are we going to call a fakety fake on the whole iPad Pro?
I think Apple is working on some sort of hybrid tablet.
I don't know.
As much as I don't like those things, but I think people are confusing the 12-inch iPad Pro with the 12-inch MacBook Air Retina, and I think they're one and the same device.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Whether it's detachable keyboard or not, I have no idea. You know, I don't know, but I
don't think
I'm guessing it's
keyboard.
I'm guessing it's a laptop with a touchscreen.
I don't even know if it'll have.
And
a touch
I think
screen.
That's stupid. I personally think it's stupid, but I think there's a touch element to whatever they're building, and I think that's the thing that people are calling either the 12-inch MacBook Air and the 12-inch iPad Pro. I think it's the same thing device.
I hate it.
Yeah, I think whatever it is, it's the same device, and the idea that it will be a MacBook device with a removable keyboard, I just don't see Apple going down that path because Microsoft has shown us with the Surface that this is
not
a product
design. Yeah, but they did it wrong. They did it wrong. That's
oh, they totally did it wrong. But
so if
I don't,
Apple can do it right, it there may be a product there.
Sure, but I don't know if there is a product to do right. In that space.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a necessity. It seems like what
aren't we headed
really,
toward convergence at some point though? Aren't we like moving that path eventually?
I don't think so. I think that the touch screen obviously is far less accurate. And
yeah, iPhone
I think
Plus is one more step toward that. And
no, it's one
the
more
iPad
step.
Air is one more step from the other direction toward that. And
I think tablet type
touch
devices,
screen iMacs, and all these things we've been hearing about.
Yeah, maybe.
We have these separate devices now. I think Apple's got a 10-year plan where there's at some point there's a convergence point.
I don't know if there's a convergence point.
I don't think there
but
is.
I think there is a point when the tablet devices that Apple makes, ranging from the iPod Touch all the way up through the biggest iPad they have, become their mainstream computer for consumers.
Yeah, I see that.
And then the Mac Pro products, those are high-end professional devices.
As in
the graphic designers, the video editors that are doing like really big video editing, the high-end music production,
or people who type, people who type for a living, people who need more than one window.
I think for some writers, that Apple's tablet setup will be totally appropriate.
I think what they have going on right now is completely passable. I think
for
that there
today,
is,
I'm not talking about today. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about next year. I'm not talking about in 3 years.
I think 5 years, 10 years down the road, even there will still be Macs, and they will not have converged completely with.
Really?
Yep.
I think so too. I think that there's definitely
a
use case.
Boring idea of the future.
No, I think you have a boring vision of the future because you can do so much less with these touch devices. You need
because
the accuracy
you're thinking
of a
about
line
how
or
we
more.
How we work with them today. The whole paradigm is going to shift.
I don't think
there's something different that you're not thinking about now. That's a better way of doing things with newer technology that hasn't even been thought of yet.
Well, I know that in 10 years I'm probably going to be like a crazy Luddite because I'm getting all jaded with this stuff anyway. So
yes, you probably will be. But I could see 5 years from now where my main computing device is a tablet.
And I think it's going to be something bigger and better than that.
Yeah, well, that sort of form factor. Because, of course, to expect the iPad today to be the iPad of 5 years in the future or 10 years in the future is very myopic. It will not be the same device. But the concept will be the same, where I have a Surface that I am interacting with through touch and voice.
Yep.
And it does, for many people, it would do everything they need. And that's it. And for some of us, it will do almost everything we need. And for all I know, by that point, it will do everything that I need. And yet there will still be the Macs for those people that need to go beyond. But that market will be a lot smaller. That market, I think, will be for the content creators.
Yeah.
Where you need to have bigger, better everything to create the type of content that is going to be going out.
Well, I think ultimately there needs to be a situation where the iPads of the future support multi-window or multi-context situations, because that's where the real power comes from. I think that the two places the power comes from on desktops is multi-window and accuracy that comes from the cursor, the mouse pointer, because you don't currently have that type of accuracy with touch interfaces. And you do have multi-context on certain tablets, just not on the iPad. And I think that part of the reason is because they haven't cracked that nut yet of how to make it really effective on that sort of device.
You know, I think you're right there, Michael. And I think multi-context is an awesome way to describe it, because right now we really don't have multi-context on the iPad or iPhone.
And it's really crippling. That is the point where I always run up against the wall when I'm using my iPad to try and get something done. When I'm typing something in Pages, it works great. When I'm browsing the web, it works great. When I'm sitting there thinking, I want to take this thing that's from this one context and throw it into this other thing, that's where it just all comes crumbling down, and I say, I'm going to wait until I get home. So I think that's what we're waiting for. And so some kind of hybridization of what we have going on now will probably end up being the future of those sorts of tablet-like devices. And certainly we're seeing the shift now. At school, I see a lot of people with these, surprisingly, either the Asus type netbook things, mainly because I think they're cheap. But then again, people can get away with that because all they're really doing with them is email, web surfing, taking notes, typing papers, and looking at Facebook.
Yep.
And it works just great for them. And so that for a majority of the consumer, that's all they really need. And there's more than enough power. There's too much power in the current laptops for some people. They've got more power than they need. So, yeah, I see that. Picks? I'll let you go first, Jeff.
All right, my pick, it's a single component, and it's the iPhone 6 camera. I'm serious.
Okay.
I am really pleased with the iPhone 6 camera.
I'm glad you're bringing it up, actually, because I was kind of curious. I don't know if you've had much experience with the Plus's camera, because that was the one thing that I was a little bit concerned with when jumping from the Plus boat to the non-Plus boat.
All right, are you going to be doing a lot of low light photography or video?
I do occasionally do that. But then again, I was pretty impressed with the 5 camera. So I remember very shortly thereafter, after getting my 5, I went to see Justice in concert, and I took some photos and videos with the camera, and I thought, man, this looks great.
Well, it's even better with the 6.
Okay.
And my low light shots that I have taken with the 6, I've been very pleased with how they came out. And that's just with the digital stabilization, not the actual optical stabilization. So the optical stabilization I see as a real benefit for people that do a lot of low light shooting and a lot of low light video or video where they have to be in motion as well.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm sure there are people that can give me plenty of examples of other places where that's really important, but for the average user, that's probably it. So I am not concerned at all about not having optical image stabilization on the 6. But the colors that I'm getting off of this camera are much truer than what I got off of my 5S, and I really liked what I got off my 5S. So for this camera to be good enough that I'm sitting here going, wow, I really prefer this one, it has to be substantially better, and I think it is.
Cool. Yeah, the one thing that was a giant bummer was so before I got my 6, I tried out Instagram's Hyperlapse app, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. If you haven't checked that out, it's definitely worth checking out. Maybe that's my secondary pick. But so it lets you do a kind of a time-lapse movie sort of thing. And I did that downtown slow at night because I wanted to send that off to family and so they could experience what the downtown is like. And it was real jiggly, very jiggly from the camera sensor. You know what I'm talking about? The jiggle thing that you get mm-hmm. when you're walking around taking a video.
You're talking about like jello?
Yeah.
The jello effect?
Yeah, the jello effect.
I like that.
Totally. And it certainly was improved from the between the 5 and the 4, because when I had my 4, it was absolutely awful. And I remember I had a 4 and I was taking some videos at of the space shuttle in 2011. It was kind of a bummer because I was walking around with it as I was taking this video, and the video is just totally unusable, even though it's really cool. So I keep it around. It's one of those I was there kind of videos, just not something I would show anybody because it's pretty terrible and jiggly. But yeah, I noticed a lot of jiggle with with my 5, with Instagram Hyperlapse. I'm wondering what your take on how that will look on a 6 would be.
I bet it'll look better.
Okay. Probably watchable.
Probably watchable. And then if you go up to the 6 Plus, even more so.
Cool. All right. Adam, what's your pick?
Well, you guys know my obsession with things that I can connect to my iPhone, right?
Sure.
And control.
I had no idea.
With my iPhone. So there's a new product from the folks at Sphero.
Oh, cool.
Called the Ollie. And it's,
I got to see that at CES. It is really cool.
Yeah, mine just came. I had pre-ordered it, so it just arrived yesterday or the day before, and it's awesome. It is not a sphere anymore. It's more of a tube shape,
yeah.
And it has two tires, and you can either go with out the rubberized, you know, sort of outdoor nubby tires, and you can go with like just almost like the rims of the thing, and you can do like drifting. Or you can throw on the nubby tires and get a little more grip and drifting. Go off-road and stuff like that. But it's made for, like, tumbling around and stunts and jumping and flipping and stuff like that. It will go up to 14 miles an hour.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So you can get some good air with this thing. And it has, like, so when you... a couple of upgrades that it has from the Sphero. One really cool thing... So to turn it on, you launch the app and then you tap the Sphero and then it activates. It connects the Bluetooth and turns on. And then when you exit the app, it powers off. So there's no like power on, power off thing. You don't have to shake it. You don't have to do anything like that, which is really neat.
That is neat.
Yeah. And and then when you're using the app, it has when you're in portrait mode, it does just a standard joystick. But then in landscape mode, it goes into trick mode and it has some built-in tricks. So if you want to do like spins or different kind of actions. You use swipe gestures to then sort of activate pre-programmed tricks and things like that. And you can combine, you know, tricks and moves and driving and stuff like that. It is just a blast. And it's $99, I think, on their store right now. You can get, there's like a limited edition, I think that's like $150. It's like a black model. And then they'll have all kinds of accessories in the future. So they're going to have different tires and different stuff that you can do with it. But, so you can customize it up and trick it out, new rims, those sorts of things.
Neat.
Yep.
Very cool.
So super fun, out now. Buy it. Make a great Christmas gift.
Oh yeah, Christmas is coming up, isn't it? In months.
Or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever you happen to celebrate. Yeah. Best of us.
I wonder if has
or just because you think I'm cute. Whatever.
Yeah. Wait, we're getting one for you, Jeff?
Because I'm cute?
Oh yeah, that's why. Okay, so my pick this week is free for everybody, so you don't have to get an iPhone 6, you don't have to buy a $100 toy. It's called Quizlet. And you may have heard of Quizlet before. It's a website, Quizlet.com. And it's for basically making flashcards of anything that you need to learn. The neat thing about Quizlet is that it has a lot of social stuff built in because, so you make your set of flashcards. And by default, they're public and people can publish them and people can actually collaborate on them. So right out of the gate, there's this huge collection of types of flashcards that you can find on Quizlet.com. And of course, the app that you can get that I'm not sure when it came out. I can probably pull it up if I I know for sure I can pull it up if I go to the Appler page. But I just recently discovered it. The fact that the app exists for iPad and iOS. It came out, yikes, a long time ago, in August 2012. So it's been out for a long time, but it's very nice. It's very clean. It works quite well. You can access all of the sets that you create on Quizlet.com. You can search the entire database of stuff that they have up there. So if there's a new subject or thing that you want to learn, someone's probably already created a stack of flashcards, and so you can just search for them and find them there, and it's nice and simple, and it just kind of gets out of the way and lets you do the thing that you want to do, which is study the thing that you want to study. So Quizlet, it's free. Check out the app, check out the site. It's very helpful, especially if you're in school. So with that, all of the picks and the show notes can be found at theiosshow.com. Of course, review the show in iTunes and tell a friend. If you know somebody who would enjoy the show, let them know. That always helps. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send questions, comments, feedback, requests, tips that you want shared with the greater audience. We love all of that stuff, especially when probably after the iPad goes, there's going to be some kind of announcement, I would guess, in October, and then there's going to be a little bit of a news lull at some point. So, you know, we'll probably get into more tip sharing and that kind of thing later this year. So send all that there. Advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. At Jay Gamet on Twitter, TMO Daily Observations. And thank you for being here, Jeff, as always.
As always, it's a blast.
And Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.MacCast.com is a member version of Adam's show.
See, now the glass is empty.
Cool. That was a nice. Cool noise.
That was
cool. It's crystal. This should be my secondary pick. Spieglau, I think is how you pronounce it, is making a whole line of specific beer glasses. They're working with different micro craft breweries to design glasses. This is the IPA glass that they worked with Sierra Nevada and Dogfish Head to build.
How the heck do you spell that?
S-P-I-E-G-E-L-A-U. Spieglau? I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that somewhat correctly.
That sounds right. Glasses for wine, beer, craft beer, champagne.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I need
wine,
to get a
whiskey,
set of stout
cognac,
glasses.
Glasses for spirits, crystal glass from Spieglau. That's beglow.com.
The glass of glass.
Interesting.
But it is actual crystal.
Does it help the enjoyment of your beverage?
This IPA glass is amazing for IPAs, yeah.
But what does it offer? What sort of features you got on that glass?
The shape and like the base has kind of got some like bumps or ridges, but just basically helping to enhance the aromas of the hops and bring those out. It's amazing.
Neat. I did not know about this kind of thing. Another one of those weird little things that you can get for your alcohol consumption.
The right glass for the right beer is an important thing if you talk to, you know, like connoisseurs. It's the same thing as like a wine glass, you know. You're
right. Yeah.
You're different wine glasses for different styles of or varietals of wine.
Or so they say. You can just drink it from the bottle. That's like an animal. Yeah, like an animal. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. You can find me on Appler, GETAPPLR.com/Michael. Find us all there. Share your favorite new apps, especially with all the neat new apps that are coming out for iOS 8 with extensions and all that stuff. It'd be great to see everybody's favorite apps there. And actually, some people have been suggesting stuff to me. I got to check it out. I got a couple notifications over the last couple hours. Someone was suggesting stuff to me there. And of course, you can do that. GetAppler.com. Check it out. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck, no.